Yeah, good morning, everybody. And yeah, I echo Cindy's sentiment. We're really glad that even though we're doing it online today, we're glad that we see people can join online. As we begin worship, let's recite the call to worship. Let's ask God to make straight the paths to our hearts, so that we won't be distracted by the things of life. We won't be distracted by what's worrying us. Doubts, things that are going around in the world, help us to be able to focus on God. And I pray that as we sing, as we worship and sing, and as we read the scripture together, as we hear God's word, I pray all these things that our hearts will be a smooth sailing for Jesus into our hearts this morning as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So let's recite the call to worship together. Even if you're online, at home or whatever, even though you're muted, just say it out loud. Wherever you're at, let's read. Prepare the way of the Lord in the
In the wilderness,
wilderness. Make
make a
a straight
straight highway
highway for
for
our
our
God
God
in
in
the
the
desert.
desert.
Every
Every
valley
valley
will
will
be
be
lifted
lifted
up,
up,
and
and
every
every
mountain
mountain
and
and
hill
hill
will
will
be
be
leveled.
leveled,
The
and
uneven
even ground
ground
will
will
become
become
smooth,
smooth,
and
and
the
the
rough
rough
places
places
a
a
plain,
plain,
and
and
the
the
glory
glory
of
of
the
the
Lord
Lord
will
will
appear,
appear,
and
and
all
all
humanity
humanity
together
together
will
will
see
see
it,
it,
for
for
the
the
mouth
mouth
of
of
the
the
Lord
Lord
has
has
spoken.
spoken. Let's worship God in song today. I'm going to hand it over to Shin.
Thank you, Jonathan. The first song we're going to sing is a classic hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. It's also a bit Christmassy, so we'll sing and worship together.
Sorry about that. My thing's on Do Not Disturb, but that phone call still went through. No idea who that was. Anyhow, we want to welcome you guys today, even though you guys are online and not in person. Also, to kind of make it feel a little more like in person, we encourage you guys to turn your camera so we can see you. We appreciate Shannon and Ben having the camera on, and also Amelia too. Hello.
Hello, Amelia. So you're so cute
So,
today.
yeah, if you guys have turned your camera, you don't need to, but we encourage it so it feels a little more like we're connected today. And so, yeah. And again, we're bummed out that we can't be there in person, but we're glad that we can worship online. And ultimately, again, what connects us isn't being in the same room, but Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So I hope that during this time, we can feel our connection through Jesus during this time. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to still be able to worship online. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together to spend time together, God. Help us to focus our hearts and our minds on you during this time. I pray that whatever is distracting us or whatever is affecting us, help us to bring those issues to you. Maybe it's worries about 2022. Maybe just finishing up your finals or whatever. Or just things in life, God. Help us to bring those issues to you. I pray that during this time we can be moved by you through the singing as we lift up our voices to worship and praise you. Through hearing your word and learning about your word. Or to meditate and to respond to what we have experienced today. I pray that your spirit moves in us, all of us, this morning, God, and help us to be changed for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Today's scripture reading will be read by Andy.
Let's all read together. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by the statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." "See, I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Thank you, Andy. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's continue worshiping the Lord in song.
Thank you, Andy, for the scripture reading. The next song is In Christ Alone. I think it's a great song that reminds us what's really the most important thing in our life, in one sense, actually, the only thing that really truly matters. So I want us to sing this song and then remember that all our hope and light is in Jesus Christ. Let's all worship together.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, far through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strife. having ceased, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessed assurance that we have in you. And also just that having that confidence in you and the hope in you that helps us to not fear even in this world of uncertainty and upheaval. Lord, I pray for your blessing over this service. I pray that you will guide our hearts and open our hearts that we can really hear your voice, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us, that we don't just listen to this sermon as some kind of intellectual message or something mildly interesting, but that we really take the message and apply it in our own lives. I pray for Jonathan as he shares his, your word. And then I just pray that you will be with us throughout this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. Okay, everything's going good. Good morning, everybody. When I grew up, my brother and I used to watch a lot of really old TV shows, because that's kind of just what we had. We didn't have the internet, we didn't have YouTube, there just weren't as many TV shows as there are now, right? There's so many shows just coming on like crazy. And I remember growing up, was one TV show that was kind of fun was the original Mission Impossible. Me just get rid of this thing real quick. Like, I think some of you guys may have seen the modern ones with Tom Cruise, and that was actually one of the first movies that actually the first movie that Mitzi and I watched together last year at my brother's place, or not last year, 3 years ago, so long ago. We watched Mission Impossible 5. Before it was a action-packed movie, it was a TV show with Peter Graves and his crew. And if you guys aren't familiar with this, there's a special group of people that can do the impossible mission. And so every episode, at the beginning, they would receive a little cassette tape, or a little reel-to-reel, I guess. Essentially a little audio message. And it would say, like, hey, we have a mission for you if you choose to accept it. It is to go to here and to do this impossible mission, right? This thing that's like, oh, it's so impossible. How the heck can they do that? And at the end of every audio recording, it'll say this tape will self-destruct, and then psh, it'll destroy itself. And if you guys ever watched Inspector Gadget, they kind of stole that gimmick, or not stole, but they copied that gimmick in their show, where the inspector, the chief, would give Gadget like a mission, right? Hey, we need to find this bad guy and do this. And of course, I that was kind of interesting, right? Like, imagine getting a mission. A mission for you to do something. You have a mission to achieve or get or do or something. I wonder about that. Right? Because in those TV shows, those people are always secret agents or Inspector Gadget. Those people are always kind of special, and so those special people get special missions, right? I don't get weird tapes with missions where I live usually. Because I'm not a special agent, I'm not a secret agent, I'm not anybody special, but these people did. I think a lot of times we think that too, that only special people get special missions, only select people get told what to do, like a little special quest. But in today's passage, we're going to look at Mary. And one thing that's interesting about Mary is that she is not inherently a somehow special person. We know a few things about Mary, not that much. We know she's a descendant of David, but there's a lot of descendants of David. We know that she's betrothed to be married, but a lot of other women were probably betrothed to be married too at that time. We know that she's from Bethlehem originally, but was living in Nazareth. But again, a lot of other women were like that too. And it's interesting too that God chose her to have a special mission, right? He didn't choose a magical special woman. He didn't choose a magical special person. He just chose a girl that's betrothed to be married. There's nothing special about her. There's nothing inherently magical or talented. She's not elite. Even later on in this, in the book of in the Gospels, we learn that she's probably a bit lower class, right? She's not even rich or middle class. She's probably on the lower class end. But God picks her for a special mission. And as you look at this today's passage, I want us to think and realize too that God doesn't just pick and give people special missions that are special Christians, right? Christians that have special abilities or magical talents. God doesn't pick those always. God picks the ordinary to work with. So let's take a look at today's passage. It begins in the 6th month that angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. What we know about Nazareth is that it's likely a small town that's kind of lame. Later on, when Jesus goes to his disciple or is recruiting disciples, one of the potential disciples says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Right? It's such a lame town. Like, is there anything there? Like, what the heck? And so the angel Gabriel was sent by God to go to this small town called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph. And so she is unmarried. She's engaged to be married to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And then the woman's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." And of course, she's deeply troubled by the statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. It's interesting too, because Mary wasn't expecting a fancy special mission from God, Right? Again, she's not like a secret agent, like, oh yes, today's mission, you know? She's not like a James Bond kind of person. The angel comes and she's like, yes, about time. What's my mission, angel? Right? She's just a girl that's gonna get married soon, and suddenly, boom, an angel pops up. And it's interesting that God came to Mary with a mission. She didn't ask God, God, I want to be big, I want to be special, I want to achieve something magical, God. God chose her. And we see that too a lot of times in the Bible, where God comes and he picks people. Right? David, when God picks David to be the king, David is just a shepherd boy. He's got a bunch of older brothers, and he's the youngest, and he's just a shepherd. There's nothing special about him. He's not in king school. He's not whatever. He's just a teenager, probably. Or when God picks Moses, right? He grew up in the Egyptian court, but he had fled Egypt, and he was just a shepherd in the desert for 40 years. Nothing really special about him. He was just minding his own business near a mountain, watching his sheep. When Jesus picks his disciples, some of them were just fishermen, just fishing, right? They're not looking for a mission. They're just there, but God picks them. And also, God chose Mary too. There's nothing inherently special about them, but God chose her to have a mission. And let's see what happens. Then the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And in this, I see that this mission that Mary has, there's both a privilege and a responsibility. Right? On one hand, it is an amazing privilege to think that the Savior of the world will be this woman's kid. Right? Imagine if God talked to me, right? Mitzi is currently pregnant with our son, and if God came to us and said, your son will be the Savior of the world, I'd be like, what? I'm going to be the Savior's dad? Oh, you know, like I would freak out. Right? I would tell my parents and Mitzi's parents, and like, hey, everybody, you know? Like, that would be an amazing privilege, an amazing honor. To have that. And so Mary is going to have this amazing honor that no other woman in history has ever had. She will be the mother of the Savior. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Your son is going to be the king, and he will reign forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Imagine the privilege of that. Right, again, if my boy turned out to be an amazing king, an amazing man, like, I would be, my mind would be blown, right? That would be so amazing. And Mary has the privilege of being the mother of the future king. But there's also responsibility. I think a lot of times when we celebrate Christmas, we kind of like, you know, Annunciation, angel tells Mary, and then some time passes, and then Christmas, yay, Jesus is born. And then we kind of, like, Mary kind of drops out a lot of times in our thinking. But in reality, right, what has to happen? Mary has to take care of this child, right? She has to feed this child. She has to bathe this child. She has to watch after this child. Imagine the responsibility. Like, oh, shoot, like, this is the future Savior. I better not goof, right? I better not do something to hurt him. I better not do anything to... I don't know, what if he dies on my watch, right? What if I'm careless? What if this happens? What if that happens? Like, there's also an amazing responsibility. And so she has to raise this child with this amazing responsibility and an amazing future. Like, imagine if, again, like, our son was prophesied to be the next king. I would have to be responsible for this person, right? And of course, she didn't just... give birth to him, right? Again, she had to raise him up. By the time he's 12, Jesus is 12, we know that Mary and Joseph are still on the scene, and when he's an adult, about 30, he begins his ministry, and Mary is still with him there. Even at the cross, Mary is still there. She is responsible for this man, and she is there for him his whole life. And so Mary gets an amazing privilege to become the mother of the future king, but she gets an amazing responsibility too. You have to raise him, you have to care for him, you have to be there with him. And of course, Mary, we know in the story, has some concerns. Right? In the TV show Mission Impossible, it'd always be like, here's a crazy mission. And then the team would have to figure it out, right? The team would be like, oh, we need to infiltrate this secret military base and steal these documents. And so, right, the Mission Impossible team would be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to disguise you to look like this general, and he's going to do this. We're going to sneak in here and break in and steal this. And, you know, and part of the whole show, the really fun part of the show was watching the plan and how they made the plan happen. But they always did it. But if you see in Mary's story, right, it's not like Mary's got to be like, okay, how am I going to have the Son of God? You know, she doesn't have to figure it out herself. And so she asked the angel, right, how can this be since I have not had sexual relations with a man, right? This is before the era of IVF or different kind of medical procedures. She hasn't had relations with a man, so how the heck can she get pregnant, and especially pregnant with the Son of God? So the angel says, hey, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Right? The power of God's going to somehow create life in her. And therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And so the result of this, right? So it's not Mary doing something to become pregnant with the Son of God. It's going to be God's power somehow producing a baby in her. And the result is, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. God will get the credit. This isn't Mary doing something special. This isn't Mary achieving the impossible. It's God doing the impossible so that God gets the credit. And so that's really fascinating, right? Again, Mary's like, what the heck? Like, I'm not even married yet. I don't have, like, what's going to happen, right? And God's like, hey, I'm going to come in. I'm going to take care of it. And God also gives her another example, another proof. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who is called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God. The angel's like, hey, before you're like going like, hey, how could this happen? Hey, you have a relative Elizabeth. And if you guys remember from that story, that's John the Baptist's mother. And John the Baptist's mother at that time was very elderly, or too old to have children, let's say. And yet through God, a miracle happened and she was able to become pregnant. And so God says, hey, look, first, this thing that's going to happen, it's going to happen because of my power. It's not going to happen because of you. You're special, you're powerful, you're amazing. It's going to happen because I'm powerful and I'm going to work in you to make this happen. And secondly, let's change color. And secondly, I've been doing this kind of impossible stuff with other people too. Right? The second piece of evidence is your older relative Elizabeth, she's 6 months pregnant. She's very obviously very pregnant at this time, right? God can work miracles, Mary. Don't worry about it. God will do his thing. And so Mary had an issue and God responds to it. God doesn't tell her to, hey, just shut up and follow what I'm doing. Just, you know. He says, hey, look, I'm going to make it happen. Look, I've already made this thing happen too with your relative too. Trust me. And lastly, Mary's response has always been interesting to me. See, I am the Lord's servant. Kind of like, see, look. Like, I am the Lord's servant. Like, she had a concern, God answered it, and she's like, I'm the Lord's servant. I'm just going to serve God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. May it happen to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Like, I feel like if it was me, I would probably have a million questions, right? Okay, what if this happens? What if that happens? What do I need to do exactly? What, you know? Like, I don't know. Is God going to be there with us every day? Is the angel going to be watching after this boy, or do I need to watch after him all the time? Is there anything special I need to teach him to become the king, right? Do I need to train him up in how to become a future king? Is there anything that I need to do to prepare to be the mother of the king, right? One of the funny things with, not funny, but one of the things with Mitzi and I, when she became pregnant, was like, what's all the things we need to do to have the baby, right? What's all the foods we should eat? What are the foods we, or Mitzi, shouldn't eat? What are the multivitamins? What are the this? What are the this, right? What are all the things we need to worry about, right? Mary's not giving God the list of things. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? She's not trying to fight against God. She's not trying to argue or debate. But she says, I'm the Lord's servant. Okay, God, you gave me this mission. And you said you're going to make this happen with your own power, God. May it happen to me as you have said. Right? She is submitting to this. She's saying, look, okay. You say I'm going to be the son or the mother of the future king that's going to sit on the throne of David. Okay, may it happen. Right, I'm going to go with this. Even though, again, there's going to be a huge privilege, but also a huge responsibility on Mary. She's good to go. May it happen to me as you have said. And we know in Mitzi, we know in Mary's story, we don't know Mitzi's story yet, she's still pregnant. But in Mary's story, there's a lot of things that happen, right? We know that after Jesus was born, soon afterwards, they had to flee to Egypt. Right, because King Herod tried to kill baby Jesus. And also, even before that, right, she had to travel down a long trip while she was pregnant and to give birth and put the baby in a manger. Some weird stuff happened. We know that, when Jesus was 12, they accidentally left him in the temple. And they thought, oh, shoot, I just lost my son. I lost the King of Kings, the future king. And they got to run back to Jerusalem to go find Jesus. And he was in the temple. And we know that when Jesus was about 30, he started doing ministry and he started saying and doing things that didn't quite make sense. And we see in the Bible that his family members thought Jesus was going crazy. And ultimately, we know that Jesus Christ had to die on a cross. That in order for Jesus to fulfill his role as the king, had to die a terrible, horrible death, and Mary had to watch her son die on a cross. I think for me, like, if God gave me a mission, I would like to kind of know all the details. I would like to know everything that's going to happen. Like, my mom's told this to Mitzi a couple of times, but mom likes to tell people that, like, yeah, Jonathan likes to know what's happening. So he would always ask me every day, what are we having for dinner? And then my mom would always say, we're going to eat vegetable, meat, and rice. That's all she would say. Like, for me, I would like to know. I would like to know the future. What's going on in this mission? What's going to happen? What are the highs and lows? What should I look out for? But Mary doesn't need all that. She just said, hey, may it happen to me as you have said. I trust you. I'm going to follow you. Let's make this happen. How many of us have really thought about how we are, in a sense, like or maybe unlike Mary? In reality, too, right? We look at the Bible and we see Mary or Paul or Moses or David or Esther or Ruth. We look at all these Bible people and we see them have missions, too. We see that God gives them specific tasks to do or to achieve or to become or whatever. And I think a lot of times we end up thinking that only special people get those missions. Only people in the Bible get those missions. Or maybe today, only special people get those missions. Only Ivy Clark gets that mission to go be a spiritual kind of director person to help encourage other women through their struggles. Right? Only Pastor Anthony is getting the mission for evangelism and that kind of stuff. Right? Only John and Rebecca are people that are called to like help other people through their marriages. Only James Grunow is there, or Vanessa Roth are there to encourage and serve refugees. Or maybe only Pastor Dio or myself are the ones that are called to minister at a church. But in reality, God actually gives us all missions. Right? I mean, think about it. There's a lot of passages, like, there's like small certain sections that are specifically for Abraham or Mary or something, right? There's specific passages for people, but most of the Bible is for people in general. That in reality, it's not just special people that get the mission, but all of us have a mission too. And notice again that when God goes to Mary, Mary is just in her world. She's doing her thing at that time. And God comes to her where she's at and gives her a mission. That's what he does with everybody else in the Bible. He comes to where they're at and gives them a mission. They don't need to join a special society. They know to achieve elite Christianity status. They don't need to memorize the whole Bible. God comes to them where they're at and gives them a mission. And he comes to where we're at and gives us a mission too. And I think the question for us is, well, what's our circumstances? Where are we at? Right? God comes to Moses because Moses is shepherding. And hey, I need you to be the shepherd of the people of Israel. Same thing with David too. David is a shepherd. He led and protected his sheep. And God wanted David to lead and protect Israel too. And so other people in the Bible, right? Jesus comes up to the fishermen and he says, I will make you fishers of men. Right? God comes to us where we're at with a mission. And it comes to us with a mission as well. And the question is, what is the mission that God has given you? Right? We don't need a secret cassette tape that tells us your mission, if you should so choose, is to blah, blah, blah. I mean, God's word is right there. We have the Bible. I think a lot of times we ignore that mission. Like, for example, I look at my context. One of the things that I am is a husband. And so if I look in the Bible, well, there's a mission that everybody has to have is to love God and to love people as themselves. So I know that my mission is to love Mitzi fully. To love Mitzi more than I love myself. Or I know in Ephesians where a husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. So I should love Mitzi in a sacrificial way. And so that's one of my missions. Am I really truly working toward loving her and caring for her in a way that is unselfish? No matter how she acts toward me, am I fulfilling my mission, right? Because again, the mission impossible, like the Mission Impossible things, right? It's like, hey, look, yes, you will receive opposition. There will be people trying to stop you, but you have a mission that you're supposed to work towards. And so in my quest to love and care for Mitzi, it doesn't matter how she responds or how she acts or how she, whether or not she, you know, is angry or happy or upset or whatever. My mission is to sacrificially love her. Who are the people maybe in your life that you need to love? Maybe it could be your parents. Parents that say or do things that are very frustrating. How can your mission be to love them? Or maybe you are parents and you have children. How can you love and care for those children in a sacrificial way, no matter how they respond and act? Maybe you have siblings. Your mission could be from God or is from God to love your brothers or sisters. Right, to love the people around you, that could be, or that is one of our missions that God has given us. So again, what is your circumstance? It could be your family, your home, the people around you. Or maybe your circumstances are, for example, you have certain unchristian friends or non-Christian friends. Right? We know one of our missions that God gives us in Acts 1:8 is to be witnesses. Right, meaning to set the example, to share and to let other people know about Jesus Christ and the gospel. That is also a mission, too, that God has given us. Or maybe one of the things that God wants us to do is to study the Bible. Study God's word so we can understand it. There's a ton of different missions where we're at. And you don't need to be a special Christian. You don't need to be, you know, angel coming down and talking to you. This is so many missions, so many things for us to do that God wants us to do. Or maybe making good use of your time. God gives us time. I'm not saying we have to be like 24/7 praying and reading our Bibles and 24/7 being perfectly spiritual. But maybe we could use our time, spend some time to grow in our faith or to serve God or to do something with that. That's productive and good. So what's your circumstance? Who are the people around you that God has called you to love? Parents, siblings, children, friends, neighbors, whatever. And how has God called you to love them? Maybe it's to be patient and kind and encouraging to them. Maybe it's to share the gospel with them. What is your mission with those people? Maybe it's for yourself, right? The Bible tells us that God wants us to become like Jesus Christ. So maybe your mission is to see, look, man, I need to work on certain things. Like for me, I tend to be very patient with certain things, but there are buttons that get pushed. And for me, I lose patience quickly in those areas. And I see that my mission in this area is I need to learn to be patient and depend on God. And I think, too, a lot of times we think that Christianity is all about just on Sunday mornings, but in reality, it's about our whole lives. It's about what happens afterwards, too. What do we do in our daily lives affects our mission. All right, when Mary became pregnant, it isn't like, oh, I just have Sunday, I'm pregnant, and then Monday through Saturday, I'm not pregnant. Right? She had to take care of this baby 24/7. Likewise, our missions from God, too, are constant as well. God also gives us privilege and responsibility. Right? With Mary, it was an amazing privilege to be the mother of the future king and a huge responsibility. And there are privileges too. Like, for example, being a husband, there is a privilege of being able to grow and learn from Mitzi. There is a privilege to see God working in her. There is a privilege to be with somebody, right, that God has put in my life. But there's also responsibility. I need to love and care for her. I can't be selfish. I can't get angry willy-nilly. I need to care for this person. I need to stretch myself at times to care and to love for this person. It's a responsibility. Or maybe how about with the church, right? God has given us a privilege of being together in this church. And there's a privilege. There's other people you can worship with, to talk to gain encouragement from. There's other people that are there for you when you're down. There's other people that can celebrate with you. There's a privilege of being together in the church. But there's also responsibility, right? God has given us all different abilities and talents and skills and wants you to contribute. Right? The Apostle Paul said that the church is like a body with many different parts. And in order for the body to function, all the parts have to work together. Right? Imagine if my left foot was like, yes, I will eat all the nutrients that the mouth eats and the stomach digests, but I will not help. Well, my body's not really going to work that well, right? Right? My foot is going to receive the nutrients and whatever else that my body gives it, but it's going to contribute. And so for us as a church, there is the privilege of having people that we're connected to, but there's also responsibility. People that we love and care for. People that we can listen to, people that we can encourage, people that we can be there for, people that we can share Christ with, people that we can help them in their spiritual walk. There is a responsibility too. And also too, with this privilege and responsibility, you can think of the consequences. So if Mary said no to being the Messiah's mother, right? What if God told Mary this, and Mary said, "Nope. I just want to live a normal life. I just want to live my dreams. I want to do it my way. I want to have like three kids, like regular people, or two. I don't know how many they had. I just want regular kids and live a regular life." What would have happened? A, she'd be disobeying God. And B, she'd be missing out on all this privilege and being part of God's story. And so, for example, like with me and Mitzi, right? I need to learn to love her sacrificially. And if I say no to God and I become selfish, what's going to happen? I harm her, I hurt her, and I hurt our marriage, and I end up hurting myself. Or maybe with church. If there's a privilege, I can get something from church, but there's also responsibility. But if I say no to the responsibility, what happens? Well, the church won't really grow. The church just sits there. I'm not going to participate within the church's work. I'm not going to receive God's power in my life. I'm not going to experience what it really feels like to be in a church. Maybe your siblings, right? Maybe your parents, maybe your classmates, maybe your whatever. There is a privilege of being there to serve them. But there's also responsibility. And I want you guys to think, what things are we missing out on because we ignore the responsibilities? Right? Because again, I think a lot of times we think that it's not a big deal. We don't need to worry about those kinds of things, but it is. Right? As I learn to love, our marriage will hopefully continue to rise and rise and rise. As more and more people will chip in and contribute to the church in ways that God has called them to, our church can grow, both in number and in depth. As you share the gospel with your friends, you're able to see them hopefully come to Christ. As you encourage other people, you can see them grow and blossom. In your circumstances around you, again, what are your privileges and what are your responsibilities? Thirdly, God will respond to your concerns. I think one of the reasons why we don't do God's mission is we think it's impossible. Right? I'm not on the Mission Impossible team because I'm not a secret agent. I'm not trained to do anything. Right? And Mary, right? She had concerns too. Right? I haven't been with a guy before. And God said, hey, don't worry about it. God will power you to make it happen. Right? There are times in our relationship with Mitzi too where like I'm not as patient as I would like to be. And I realize that I'm not the one that has to be patient by myself. I need to seek God's power to help me and change me to become patient. Same with times of serving church. It's not because I'm super smart or gifted or whatever. I need to depend on God's power to help me to serve church. When I share the gospel, I'm really timid. I'm really scared of that sometimes. But I have to ask God for help so that he can help me and empower me to share the gospel. I think maybe for us, there are certain missions that we have that we're scared, we don't want to do it because we think we have to do it on our own. But in reality, God empowers. Right, when God calls Moses to lead the people of Israel, Moses says, hey man, how the heck am I supposed to do this? And God says, hey, A, I'm going to give you a sidekick named Aaron, and B, I'm going to do some miracles. Right? God doesn't make him do it by himself. When David becomes king, when he fights Goliath, David's like, hey, not I'm a super good warrior, I'm going to do it. He says, hey, look, God's protecting me, God's working with me, I got God on my side so I can do it. What are your concerns? What's preventing you from fulfilling God's mission for your life? From maybe loving the people around you, from sharing the gospel to the people near you, from contributing and serving the church, the body of Christ. From maybe being loving and patient and obeying your parents if you're a kid. Or maybe loving your children fully. Or loving maybe problematic family members. Are you trying to do it on your own, or are you trying to use God's power? What is it? What's holding you back? And the question ultimately is, will you submit to God's mission? Yes, there's going to be ups and downs. Yes, there's going to be times where it would be scary. But will you say, yeah, God, this is what you want. That's what I want too. Like, for example, again, in the context of marriage, there's a lot of times where I want to be right. A lot of times where I want her to see, no, I was in the right. I was doing the right thing. I don't need to be patient. I don't need to be loving. I said and did the right things. I have truth on my side, you know? But God called me to love her and to care for her. And so am I willing to say, okay, look, whether I'm right or wrong is not important. I need to say, look, what God wants me to do is to love and be caring, and that's what I need to be. Maybe it's your siblings that you need to learn to love. Right? And maybe in your mind, your goal isn't so much of like, I will become the loving brother or sister to my jerk brother or sister. Maybe your prayer is more like, change them, God. Change them to be less of a jerk. But maybe you need to submit to God and say, look, God, you have your mission for them, whether or not they become loving and kind and whatever. I want to fulfill your mission in me so that I will be kind and patient and loving because that's what you want me to do. Right? Or maybe serving church, right? Maybe you don't want to serve church because you just don't feel like it. Are you willing to say, hey, look, God, like I know this is what you want. Fine, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna try to do what you want me to do. Or maybe sharing the gospel, right? God wants you to do this, and yes, it will be scary at times. Yes, you're not gonna always get good responses, but okay. God, this is what you want me to do. Let's go. So I want us to ask ourselves, right? Because we look at Mary, man. Mary was young and she's getting this crazy responsibility, but she said yes. Moses said yes. Esther said yes. Right? All these different people in the Bible said yes to God's mission. And again, what happens if they don't? We'd be disobeying God. Right? That's obviously bad. Right? Jesus came to save us from our sins. Right? We know that we naturally like to disobey God and we like to do our own thing. And we know that the punishment for those sins is hell. We know that God's wrath and judgment will come on people that disobey him. And so the whole point of Jesus coming is to save us from our sins, to forgive us so that we can be with God. And so there is kind of an irony, right? When we believe in Jesus so that we can, get rid of sins and follow God, but we still say, no, I don't want to do what you want me to do. Right? That's like, again, imagine me marrying Mitzi and saying, look, I want to be with you, but I also want to do my own thing too. I don't want to follow you. It's like, what's the point? And so I think for a lot of Christians, it's something very important to ask. Jesus' brother James asked, is faith without works? Can such a faith save a man? If you say that you believe in Jesus, but all your actions prove otherwise. If you say Jesus is your king, but you always do your own thing, you are the king of your life. If Jesus came and gave you a mission, but you're always doing your own mission, the question is, are you really Christian? James says, can such a faith save a man? And he says, faith without works is dead. And so as we celebrate this Christmas, don't just say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, or don't just celebrate Christmas. The question is, are you submitting to God's will and his plan for you? And so maybe for some of you, your mission right now is to believe in Jesus, right? Where you're at is you don't, maybe where you're at is you say you believe in Jesus, but your actions don't really show it. Or maybe you've always been coming to church, but you've never really followed Jesus. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe your mission now is to say, okay, I'm going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I want to begin this journey with God. I want to confess my sins. I want to get this done. So, what's the mission that God has given you? And I think, what's your context? Who are the people around you that you need to love or care for? What are the situations you need to share the gospel? How can you encourage or grow? What's with the church? And before it seems really overwhelming, I want us to pray about it. Spend some time praying to God and saying, okay, what's my focus for this week, maybe? What's my focus for today? What should I focus on, God? Where are you at? And think about your privilege and responsibility. Right? The privileges that God has given you in this situation. And what is the responsibilities that God has given you? And if you have any concerns, go to God. Mary wasn't like, oh, I have a question, but I'm not gonna say it. Mary said, hey, I got a question, If you have questions, you don't know how God, it's going to happen, go ahead and let God hear it. God, I'm just not that patient of a person. God, I just don't really know what I can contribute to church. God, I really stink at sharing the gospel. I don't really know how to explain it. You know, whatever it is, whatever your concerns are, let God know. And let God respond to you. And I think, again, it's awesome because the problem with Mary is not, well, it's solved by God's power. The problem with Moses was solved by God's power. The problem of David was solved by God's power. The problem of et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it was solved by God's power. That we bring these problems to God and God says, hey, look, I will take care of it. And lastly, will you submit to God's mission? How can you say, yes, God, this is what you want? It may be hard, maybe a long journey. I might not know what it's going to look like, but I want this to happen to me. And I hope, my hope was as a church, we can all walk together. We can all serve each other, learn and grow. And we can be a church with one unified mission, growing closer to God. All right, our church isn't going to grow because there's going to be a magic person that comes and fixes everything. Our church isn't going to grow because the pastor is supernatural or whatever. Our church isn't going to grow from whatever. One of the biggest things that's going to make our church grow is that we encourage and serve and contribute and we work on this mission together. Right? People aren't going to feel welcome magically. They're going to feel welcome because we welcome each other. Things are going to happen only if we submit to God and go ahead and do it. And I hope that we can all grow and follow God's mission, whatever it is. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving Mary this amazing mission to be the mother of the Savior of the world. I know that you have given all of us missions too. Missions to love and care for other people. Missions to grow in our relationship with you. Missions to learn to be self-sacrificial like Jesus. To love and to be patient and to be kind like you. Or maybe missions to use our gifts, our talents, abilities, our money, our time to serve, love, encourage, and to build up other people. I know that each one of us has a mission from you, God. For the non-believers, the mission is to believe in you and to follow you. And for the rest of us, it's all about loving you and loving other people. I pray that you guide us and lead us in this area. Help us to know clearly what your mission is in our lives. Help us to see the privileges and responsibility of those missions. And help us to go to you if we have any problems or questions or concerns, God. And ultimately, help us to submit. Help us to say, yeah, God, this is your mission for me, and this is my mission too. Let's do it. And I pray that our church can grow, not just in number, but also in depth. As we all grow closer and closer to you and serve you and are empowered by you, our church will also grow too. And I pray that this happens. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all the examples that you've put in the Word for us. All those ancient examples of people that followed your mission for them. And also the modern day examples too. Help us to also follow in their footsteps as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to hand it over to Shen to have the response song.
Thank you. So we're going to close the worship with the song, O Come, All Ye Faithful. So people know it's a famous Christmas song, but after the sermon, I'm really hoping that the words of the song isn't just a random Christmas song, because one line in the song is about glory to God and glory in the highest. But then I think it'd be good for us to actually think about how we can actually glorify God, not just singing empty words in a Christmas carol, but how our lives can be used to glorify and worship God. So let us sing together.
So I want to ask us, right? Let's spend a moment of silence. What is God's mission for you? What does God want you to do now? And again, think of the people around you. Who's there for you to love or to care for? Or maybe it's how you can grow closer to God, right? How you can study and read God's word more. Or maybe it's people to fellowship with, to build godly relationships with. Or maybe people to share the gospel with, right? There's so many different potential missions for you. What is God's mission for you in your circumstance? And maybe consider, too, what you can do to work in that direction. Maybe you don't know what to do. Maybe you can pray. Maybe you can talk to other believers for encouragement, support, advice. Maybe you can join fellowship so we can share and discuss and to encourage each other in the right direction. So what is your mission and what can you do to move in the right direction? And our goal is to all have the mindset of Mary. May it happen to me as you have said. Whatever your mission for me, God, I want it to happen. So let's take about a minute of silence and let's think about this and meditate on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you came to die on the cross for our sins. You had an amazing mission to accomplish, and you did it through other people doing their mission as well. Help us to see what you want us to do. Help us to know what we should do to grow closer to you, how we can grow closer to other people, and how we can help others grow closer to you too. Help us to see what you want us to do, Lord, and help us to really submit and to follow you, even though sometimes it can be very difficult. I pray that your spirit and your power helps us and encourages us and allows us to do what it is that you want us to do. And I really do pray eagerly for our church to grow, because we're all serving together, we're all growing together, we're all following your mission together as one body. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So some announcements. Next week is going to be joint Christmas Sunday worship. It is going to be very different than what we normally do. It's going to be a little like our praise and prayer nights, with more singing, praying, and singing and praying and scripture reading. And so, yeah, the people leading the worship will be a mixture of some English congregation, a little bit of Chinese congregation, but the songs will have English and Chinese. The scripture reading will also be done in English and in Chinese as well. We're trying to make sure that the English congregation feels very welcome during this time. But it'll be a little bit different. It's not a regular Sunday service with like a 40-minute message or whatever. It's going to be different, and I hope it'll be something that'll be a blessing. So please join us online or in person next week.
And it's a great opportunity to invite people to be either be in person or online. I think it's a great opportunity to share, you know, the true meaning of Christmas. So if you have somebody in mind, please invite them. And also for people who want to be in person, and we have meals that we can take home, so we won't be eating there. But then church actually prepares meals and to-go boxes. So if you are coming in person, and let us know, so we will make sure we have a meal for you to go. And please let us know by end of day tonight.
Yeah. And also, we'll have a joint service the following on January 2nd, 2022, 2 weeks from now. Oh, man, it's too fast. How you could make a difference, right? One thing you do is volunteer to contribute to Sunday worship, right? We're always looking for people to lead praise and worship. Thank you, Shen, for today. It takes time to record those songs and to upload the videos and make sure the PowerPoints are good to go. And we're always looking for people to be able to share, right? And that's always fantastic to hear different voices, different styles of singing and things like that. So leading praise. Or you could maybe hop on like a join others. You don't need to lead it yourself, but you can always join other people. We can always try to work out something because we're meeting in person more often. And so, you know, if you want to join in, play some percussion or play a little instrument or even a shaker, that's great. Looking for scripture readers too. Like Andy. Thank you, Andy. We want to work on a schedule for scripture readers and other things for next year. So if you are willing to do that, just let me know and we can put you in a rotation. Leading prayer. Right now it's mostly myself and the whoever's leading praise that day is leading prayer. But if you would like to lead prayer, it can be really short, like one or two sentences, that's fine. If you would like to do that, let me know. We would love to have more people to pray. Tech stuff like Zoom admitting or running the PowerPoint, it's always good to have that, people to be helping out with that. Again, if you're wanting to do that, just let me know, and we can put you in a rotation. I thought of one thing too this morning. Also, we'd like to have maybe welcomers on rotation, because there are times in the morning when, you know, people that are doing these things are busy setting up, and that people come in and they don't have people to talk to. So we want to see if maybe we can have a few people that are just there to like make sure people are feel welcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is also your church. So we would love you to, you know, work with us and to welcome people, to serve God together, to serve this church together, because it's not just one or two people, a few people serving, it's us as a team. Yeah.
Yeah. The Apostle Paul said that there's no part of the body that's more or less important. I think that's always really important to see, right?
Yeah.
No matter how old or how young you are, how spiritually mature or immature you are, or how veteran Christian, whatever, like no matter what your skills are, everybody's equally important in God's eyes.
Yeah, and now we do want to thank people who've been with us for the past year, who've been serving with us. I know that everybody all have busy schedule, so just a big thank you. Thank you very much for, yeah, for serving with us for the past year.
Giving, again, if you feel called to give, if God is, yeah, giving you resources to be able to share, right? We encourage you guys to give, to be able to invest in the future of our church. 2020 is coming around the corner, and yeah, there's a lot of good potentials around the corner to be able to invest in. Advent reading, I know Christmas is right around the corner, but again, if you guys want to do a little Advent reading, a little Bible reading, there is the series. It's all very, very short things you can read.
You share the link in the
Yeah.
chat right now? Yeah.
Meet him at the manger.
Yeah, it's a fantastic reading. Super short. And there's also audio, so a very soothing British voice reading it out loud to you, or you can just read it on your own. But I think every day as we read this, and I really feel that, yeah, we understand what Christmas is all about more and more, and God is really revealing his heart and his joy to us. So I really welcome you. It's less than 5 minutes of
Yeah,
of
maybe
your
like a
time.
minute,
Maybe,
maybe a
well, for
minute,
fast reader by
minute or
Jonathan,
two.
maybe 1 minute, for me maybe three. But it's fantastic reading. So Jonathan just added to the chat.
And Cindy says the readings are really good.
Yeah, so we recommend you to click on it. Yeah, start the Advent reading. Yeah.